Our next case this morning is case number 71120, Murray versus Hayashi. Mr. Ray, Mr. Skunjarek, and Mr. Johnson for the are the attorneys involved. And again, what I'd like you to do is you can face the audience rather than us. You can turn your back on the court. Mr. Ray, you go first. Tell the audience what the case is about, and then we'll have the respondent do the same thing. And introduce yourselves, too, please.
Yes, my name is Paul Ray, and I'm the appellant's counsel. And we're appealing an issue by the district court, which in this case was Judge Gonzalez, here in Las Vegas. And the issue was a real property title case. And so the dispute was about who owns the property. And so there's an issue about quiet title, and also there's
my name is Matthew Johnson. I represent some of the defendants. I represent some respondents and other defendants. I represent a company called Luaya, which held the trust on the property. I represent a company called Comet LLC, which is a company which we claim had the court ultimately agreed had a title to the property. Purchased the property. And I also represent Mr. Hayashi, who is the original associated with the Blue Comet. It's an interesting case. The property is actually a casino located on Jackson Industries in downtown Las Vegas. It was started financially. Mr. Ray client advanced some money. There was some promissory note that he trusted that came out of us on that. Transaction. The lawyer who drafted the promissory note and who drafted the trust that was signed first represented the prior owner of the property and then represented Mr. Ray's client. And ultimately, both worked out there were some challenges and some problems with that trust. The trust was given by the company, the actual casino, and not by owner, and then foreclosure by Mr. Ray's client, the land, not the land, but the
tax. Hello, everyone. My name is Nick Skunjarek. I'm the attorney for the client. Minnesota real estate dispute, so you know there'll be nothing sexy or fun about this. Do any of you do any kind of commercial real estate litigation or anything? Okay, then you'll all be really super boring to you. Once upon a time, I also did criminal, much like Justice Cherry, early on in my career, and I can tell you, really for the last 30 years, I've been a title company, real estate, commercial litigator, that sort of thing. But when I did do criminal, I had much, much better cocktail party stories.
Thank you. Mr. Ray, we're ready for you.
Thank you. May I please the court? My name is Paul Ray, and I represent the appellant Shlomo Mary.
Did you want to reserve any time?
I would like to reserve 5 minutes if there's that much left.
And also, there's a cross appeal here?
Yes.
Okay.
I also
okay. This is unique because we have a cross appeal, so both sides get to reserve some time, so you get to see them up and down. Mr. Ray, go ahead.
Thank you. And Mr. Mary asked the court to reverse the district court's judgment in three respects. First, that we asked the court to quiet the subject property title in Mary. And second, we asked the court to determine or direct a determination of the damages caused by Nevada Title Company, or NTC, that Mary suffered from NTC's disparagement of Mary's title. And third, to remand for the district court to reach an issue which it had determined was moot pertaining to an expired trust deed. The case facts are as follows, and the most important fact I want to bring up first, and then the chronology, and that most important fact is that the trust deed that was foreclosed on, that Nevada Title foreclosed on, Mary's trustee, provided only that Tara Jackson's fee title to the two adjacent parcels was the security for the these two properties. And the trust deed includes no reference to a lease nor to any leasehold interest. So the chronology, the earliest point that happened is that in March 23rd, 1999, the note expired, which is one of the points that we're asking the court to remand on. But as to the main issues, the first fact pertaining to the quieting of title is to prevent the loss of the properties, Tara Jackson, for a tax sale in 2011, borrowed money from Mr. Mary and transferred by trust deed her fee interest in the properties as security to Mary. Jackson had a 100% owned company, which is called Ultra Newtown Tavern, which executed the note on March 29, 2011, naming the property, her properties as collateral and referencing an undefined leasehold deed of trust. As security for Ultra Newtown Tavern's note to Mary on the same date, March 29, 2011, Jackson executed the trust deed transferring her title to the properties, referencing no lease whatsoever. After the note to Mary went into default on September 29, 2011, Hayashi, who's the owner of the appellant or appellee Comet LV, loaned money to Jackson, and Jackson provided in her June 7th, 2012 trust deed on the properties that the her transfer of fee title as security to Mr. Hayashi was, and I'm quoting, subject and subordinate and remains secondary and inferior to any and all liens securing payments of promissory notes or other liens that predate this deed of trust, including but not limited to, and she specifically referenced Mary's trust deed. So both Jackson as the transferor and Appellee Hayashi, the owner of Comet, knew and recognized from the official property title records that Mary had a prior title fee interest in the title to Comet. So then Nevada Title completed the entire foreclosure sale, again on the basis of the fee title, starting in May 15, 2012 with the notice of default and election to sell, which names the fee title only, and also the trustee sale guarantee of the same date only names the fee title. Then on September 5th, 2012, the notice of trustee's deed names only the fee title. And finally, the trustee's deed of October 19th, 2012 names only the fee title. Then after the foreclosure, Nevada Title Trust discussed the note provisions with Sugiyama, who persuaded Nevada Title to report to Clark County that Nevada Title's foreclosure notices transferred only a leasehold. And that was in an email dated January 5th, 2013, where Nevada Title said that the foreclosure documents that did not specify a leasehold were an error, and the reason Nevada Title gave was that because the borrower never had title to the secured property. And this is why we're in the Supreme Court rather than the Court of Appeals, because of this issue of first impression, which we identified in the routing statement. After Mary's foreclosure sale, Comet purported to buy Jackson's interest in the properties through Jackson and F Corporation. And this happened in April 4th, 2013 with a grant bargain and sale deed from Tara Jackson to Sugiyama. And the same date, Sugiyama then also transferred by grant bargain and sale deed to Jackson and F Corp, which then transferred on June 17, 2013, and grant bargain and sale deed to Comet. And none of the parties or witnesses identifies any lease nor any leasehold trust, as I mentioned, securing Jackson's or Ultra Newtown Tavern's note to Mary that Jackson and Hayashi recognized was secured in a prior position of the fee title to the properties. The reason we ask for a reversal as to the quieting of title is that Mary foreclosed on the fee title in the properties Jackson transferred as security for Ultra Newtown Tavern's note to Mary. NRS 107.080 is the statute that provides that a trustee may secure any debt by any estate. And so we think that the question is already answered by statute, that Nevada Title was mistaken, and the district court erred on this basis of saying that it's not allowed for a different party to transfer security than the borrower. And this is also the majority rule, as we pointed out in the case called Cato Company and cases from New York, California, New Jersey, and in between, hold also that the a party other than the borrower may provide security in a trust deed. So the majority rule agrees with Nevada's statute, providing that a trust deed may secure any debt, not just the debts of borrowers. The majority rule is consistent with the intent of the principles. As I mentioned, there was a trust deed specifically from, as I quoted, from Tara Jackson to Stephen Hayashi, where she specifically said that Mr. Hayashi's interest in the fee title was subject specifically to Mr. Mary's interest in the fee title. So in respondent's theory of a leasehold interest, securing Mary's loan has no support in the trust deed. The second reason we ask for a reversal on the quieting of title is that Jackson and Hayashi knew that Jackson transferred fee title to Mary as security in the deed of trust, and that's based on NRS 111.070, which provides that a transfer in an estate from of less than fee must be by express terms. And there's no the word fee does not have to be used to presume transfer of the fee title. So, and there was no reference to, again, any leasehold in this trust deed. The second point of reversal we ask for is that the district court erred by limiting NTC's liability to the expense of foreclosure for negligence in performance of NTC's undertaking of Mary's foreclosure and for knowingly or recklessly making false statements about Mary's title. And under the Dow Chemical v. Malin case, once Nevada Title undertook to change its view of the foreclosure after it had recorded all of the important documents, the determinative documents, Nevada Title took on itself the responsibility to then competently perform that. And so a false statement, also under the McKnight family versus the debt management, a false statement with knowledge or reckless disregard for the truth is also actionable. And even NRS 107.02286 shows that there's a rebuttable presumption of good faith where the title company or the trustee follows NRS 107.080. In this case, Nevada Title followed NRS 107.0 as to the fee title, but not as to a leasehold. So they lose the presumption of good faith, and therefore they're not compliant and with the, if you would call it, a safe harbor. So, and the last reason is that Nevada Title's liability should not be limited to the amount of the foreclosure fee. And we cite the Davis v. Billing case, and also that Mr. Mary has an NRS 645.201 case claim on Nevada Title's separate duties of handling the foreclosure sale as an escrow agent, which includes the duty of reasonable care and to refrain from knowingly or recklessly making false statements about Mr. Mary's title.
How did Judge Gonzalez come up with the $4,100 against the Nevada Title?
I'm sorry.
How did Judge Gonzalez come up with the $4,100 for
those cases? I think it was the price of the trustee sale guarantee and the foreclosure fees altogether, is my understanding. Are there any other questions, Your Honor, or maybe I would
reserve? You want to reserve? You have about 5.5 minutes left.
Thank you.
Mr. Johnson.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. Matthew Johnson. I'm representing all three parties, as I mentioned to the students here. I'll be representing both Luluaya LLC, Comet LV LLC, and Mr. Hayashi individually. I'd like to reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal, and I'm assuming that you want me to go into the not only the issues presented by Mr. Ray, but also the issues presented.
Sure.
Okay, we'll
make it easy.
Your Honor, the issue here really is, can a third party give a deed of trust to secure a loan to another party? If that's what the issue really is, as Mr. Ray's briefing has indicated, then I believe we can all go home, because the answer to that question is sure, that's not a problem. That happens all the time. But that's not really what the issue is here. The issue is whether or not the documents themselves that are at issue in this case granted a fee simple interest to Mr. Maieri. The documents we want to look at first are the promissory note itself. The promissory note, which is number 5693 through 5698, entitled Note Secured by Deed of Trust, says, for valuable consideration, Ultra Newtown Tavern does hereby promise to pay to Shlomo Meiri the principal sum of $59,038. The note then goes on to say, this note is secured by a leasehold deed of trust, assignment of leases and rents and security interest. I should also mention that the note, the deed of trust, and then the re-recorded deed of trust, which was changed, were all prepared by Mr. Meiri's counsel. Now, the next document we want to look at is the deed of trust itself. Who prepared the deed of trust? And if we look at the deed of trust, which was initially recorded April 6, 2011, that deed of trust says, this deed of trust made the 29th of March, 2011, between, who? Ultra Newtown Tavern, Inc., by and through its director, Tara Green Jackson, called borrower, and Shlomo Meiri, herein called beneficiary. And then it goes on to talk about the trust or et cetera. So the person or the entity giving this deed of trust was not Tara Jackson individually. It was Ultra Newtown Tavern, Inc., the casino, the operating company. That's who gave the deed of trust. So what interest were they giving? Well, the only interest that they had, because they were not on title of the property, this casino property at 600 and 606 Jackson Streets was held in the name of Tara Jackson individually. So if you looked at the records with Clark County back at the time, they showed Tara Jackson, the owner. It didn't show Ultra Newtown Tavern. But Ultra Newtown Tavern is the entity giving the deed of trust. They're the entity giving the promissory note. Now, that's important because the deed of trust is not given by Tara Jackson. It's given by Ultra Newtown Tavern. Now, what happened is, for some reason, the deed of trust got re-recorded. And Mr. Meiri's counsel went in, took the exact same deed of trust, and added language to it. The testimony at trial and during the depositions, actually the deposition testimony given of Mrs. Jackson was, or Tara Jackson was actually read into the record at trial. There was a re-recording of this deed of trust, and it was re-recorded and on March 28, 2012, and it just says on the title page, re-recorded deed of trust. That re-recorded deed of trust, which is the exact same deed of trust, the only difference is it added who gave the deed of trust, Ultra Newtown Tavern, Inc., by and through its director, Tara Green Jackson, called Bauer. It added the words, and trustor. Mr. Meiri's counsel, or someone at their office, typed in the words, and trustor. It wasn't re-notarized. It was not re-signed. And that was the testimony given by Tara Jackson. In the trial testimony, and this is found at 22 Joint Appendix 4449 is where it starts, the question was asked of Ms. Jackson, were you signing this document individually or as an officer of a corporation? And her answer was business. Pardon me? For the business. And then it was pointed out to her, for the business, is there some reason you didn't put your office on this document in the business? Okay, but when I signed this document, it was for the business. That was her intent. They asked why, she was asked why it didn't say president or comma secretary on the actual deed of trust, and she said no reason. She then went on to testify about the owner, etc. She says, I was still the owner of Ultra Newtown Tavern. Her intent was, she was the owner, because it says comma owner on the deed of trust. She was testified, that testimony is at trial, I did that as the owner of Ultra Newtown Tavern. Not as the owner of the property, but as the owner of Ultra Newtown Tavern. So the only thing that the documents themselves could have given would have been an interest in whatever interest it was that was held by Ultra Newtown Tavern, and that was a lease. They were, whether they were paying money or not for that lease is completely irrelevant. That entity had the right to use that property pursuant to legally what we would say at least, you have to look at the documents. You can't just say, oh, well, they gave us this deed of trust, and because she was the, because she signed it, but she signed it in her capacity as an officer or director of Old Newtown Tavern, even though on the document it says owner. Her testimony also at trial, there was a question. Now, I understand that it's your contention that when you signed this deed of trust on March 29, 2011, it indicates there, Tara Jackson, owner. Do you see that? Is that your handwriting? Answer, yes. And when you say owner on that line, what are you referring to? Answer, Ultra New Town Tavern. It is clear. That's what the record said. The lower court found that. And ultimately, the court noted that this was for Ultra New Town Tavern. And I think I'll reserve additional time for Mr. Scandiaro. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Scringeric.
Good morning. Nick Scringeric on behalf of Nevada Title Company. Realistically, I'm just going to try to recover a little bit of the ground. I mean, really, the underlying issue in this case was, what was the meaning of the language contained in a promissory note and deed of trust drafted by Mr. Maieri's, drafted, recorded, and then re-recorded by Mr. Maieri's counsel? I mean, that's really the underlying issue here. And I think Mr. Johnson is correct in stating that you really need to look at the documents. You will really understand it once you do that. Nevada Title's role in this transaction is as follows. Mr. Maieri's counsel drafted this promissory note and his deed of trust. They were recorded both. Oddly enough, the promissory note was also recorded. Consequently, it also imparted notice to the world. They were recorded by Mr. Maieri's counsel approximately a year before Nevada Title got involved. Nevada Title was the trustee. They only conducted the foreclosure. They had nothing to do with the drafting of the documents. They did review it, and a record will show, and then kicked it back to them and said, hey, listen, your deed of trust doesn't have a trustor or a trustee. You guys need to fix it. And on their own, Mr. Maieri's counsel then interlineated. There's some handwritten stuff, and then you can compare the two. In essence, what they did is they made Mr. Maieri the trustee. They made Ultra Newtown Tavern the trustor under the deed of trust. And then where Tara Jackson signed on the last page, they wrote, hand-wrote in owner with no further explanation, owner of Ultra Newtown Tavern or owner of the property. The promissory note states that it is secured by a leasehold deed of trust. The deed of trust that they recorded and re-recorded states that it is a security for a promissory note of even date. The only promissory note of even date that anyone's been able to find, and in fact was recorded in seriatim, was the promissory note from Ultra Newtown Tavern. Problem was, Ultra Newtown Tavern never owned the property. You can't give security. I can't give security. Can't give a deed of trust on your honor's house to secure someone else's loan if I don't own the property. Nevada Title goes through the foreclosure, and frankly, they don't catch it. I mean, they really don't. I'm not going to say that they did. You go through the foreclosure to get contacted by the representative of the owner, Ms. Jackson, Mr. Sugiyama. He convinces them, hey, there's a problem. They contact Mr. Pierce at the assessor's office. They never recorded a thing, and those are the official real estate records. I would submit to this court that you cannot slander title unless you record something. What's on Zillow, what's on Realtor, those aren't the official property records in any event. They contacted Mr. Pierce, and this is common in the title and escrow industry. He's the guy at the assessor. So they can keep their records straight and assess the right person to collect their taxes. Now, these aren't real property ownership records. In the end, who determines who owns real property? The courts do. It's not the recorder, and it's certainly not the assessor. And then Mr. Pierce looked at the documents himself and testified, as pointed out in our brief, on his own. He made the decision to revert the assessor's records back to Ms. Jackson. In the end, there was no slander of title. As the court pointed out, this was a privileged communication with a government entity. Furthermore, Nevada Title had an interest. It has a working relationship with the assessor to tell them, hey, when there's a problem. And in the end, Mr. Pierce made his own decision. And he testified to that. And there was no contravailing testimony at all. So as a causation matter, Title wasn't slandered. The reason the court only awarded the $4,100 is simply this. The reason we're all here is because of the language of the documents. Nevada Title had nothing to do with that and couldn't fix it after.
And you're not challenging the $4,100?
No, I'm not.
Right.
Okay, let's say he would have found out 6 months earlier. So what? These guys were still spending. We were in an 11-day trial. This thing costs hundreds of thousands of dollars, Judge. You think they were going to go away if he had sued 6 months earlier? Of course not. The point is, the only thing they're out of is that $4,100, which I paid him. We've already paid him. I'm fine with that. Do I agree with the court? I don't, not really, but I'm not going to appeal it, not for $4,100. And I'm not going to waste this court's time or anyone else's. So in sum, they simply failed to prove their claims. And with regards to Nevada Title, the judgment should stand.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Ray, rebuttal?
Thank you, Your Honor.
And you're challenging the $4,100 that it's not enough.
Right, Your Honor. That's correct. Right. Yes, thank you.
I want to be specific about that.
Yes, and as to, and actually to address that point first, our claim is under NRS 645A.201 for the handling of the escrow by Nevada Title under the statute, which is not just the contractual claim. And going back to I agree with Mr. Johnson that the documents are very important, of course, as of course they would be in a real property case, the title. And what's important, as I mentioned, the very first fact that I said is the most important, is to know that the title that Tara Jackson transferred was in fee in the trustee. And the when Ultra Newtown Tavern...
But if the fee is from they call it a fee, but it's UNTT. UNTT cannot transfer more than it owns.
It's true. It said, though, that they did it through Tara Jackson. And Tara Jackson signed the document as the owner.
Well, the owner of what?
Yes, it doesn't answer that question, but she does answer that question. Yes, she testifies at trial 5 years later, but only 1 year later, she put in a recorded document that it was the fee title that she transferred to Mary that was ahead of Mr. Hayashi. And he accepted that, and he allowed that document to prevail in his loan. And so what she says 5 years later is it contradicts what she put in the record just 1 year later.
Well, the court considered the contradictions in determining what was transferred, right? Making their factual findings, the court considered that, right?
I hope so, Your Honor. Yes, I assume. Right. And so, the documents show, the documents, without going to the testimony of Ms. Jackson, the documents show that it was not a leasehold. And Judge Gonzalez acknowledged and ruled that it was this trust deed that was foreclosed on. And the trust deed itself does not say that it's a leasehold. And it just says that it was the interest in fee that was transferred by Tara Jackson. And so that's really what it is. That's the basis of why the title should be quieted. It's true there were other witnesses, but I think it does come down to the documents. And the documents show that Ms. Jackson transferred the fee title. And it doesn't matter which counsel drafted it. I actually was not the counsel at that point. But the point is that the documents show that Ms. Jackson transferred the fee title. And she stated that in the record, in the official record of the Clark County Records, and made that very clear. There was another witness, the only witness who was live that the court said that it had believed to be credible was a lady named Ms. Guerin, and she was an activist in North Las Vegas, and she said that she drove Ms. Jackson down to sign this document, and that it was for the purpose of transferring the fee title. But again, it's really the documents that control, and that's why we asked the court to reverse the district court's judgment as to quieting of title, and also the judgment limiting, or we asked the court to remand for a determination of the damages caused by Nevada Title that Mary suffered from the disparagement of Mary's title, and also to remand for the other invalidation of the earlier trust deed. And the other document, I just want to say in conclusion about the note, there is a reference to a leasehold deed of trust, and that's the only place where there's a reference to the leasehold deed of trust is in the note. But the note also says, or any other security, and says that the collateral is the fee title. So the only reason there's this whole concept of a leasehold deed of trust is there's a stray reference in the note which was not foreclosed and which does not determine the title. And so we ask the court to reverse.
Thank you, Mr. Ray. Mr. Johnson, you have 2 minutes and 39 seconds to rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honors. First, I would like to point out that in this case, although in Nevada we usually don't record the note did get recorded. So the note that said that this is secured by a leasehold deed of trust, you have to read the two documents together, the note and the deed of trust. And the note clearly says that it's secured by a leasehold deed of trust. And clearly, there's no question that it was by Ultra Newtown Tavern. As to the owner of what? The testimony made that very clear at trial. The testimony was owner of Ultra Newtown Tavern. I think I would like also, Your Honors, to point out that Mr. Ray said, well, gosh, there's this deed of trust that went to Steve Hayashi from Tara Jackson about a year later that was recorded. That was never recorded, not a record. Next, I would like to move on to the $250,000 issue, if I could. Our position is very simple. In Nevada, we require a writing for real estate transactions. There is a writing here. There's three writings. Number one, there's a check for $50,000. Number two, there's a deed to 606 Jackson. And number three, there is a deed to 600 Jackson. Those are the writings. And those two deeds say, for good and valuable consideration, and there's actually a blank on there. It's very interesting. But there's a blank to say, what is the consideration? It says, in consideration of, and they've written, valuable consideration, dollars, receipt acknowledged. And then it says, the receipt of which is hereby acknowledged on both deeds. So our position is, look, we can't talk about the testimony because the judge at the lower court found that all three of the parties were not credible. Finding as a matter of law, none of the parties were credible, she said. Regardless, my client speaks Japanese, not English. And what happened here is he gave $50,000 with a check, just signed, it was accepted, and in exchange, Mr. Sugiyama, who had title at the time through his company, gave the two deeds, acknowledged it. We believe that the $250,000 extra money, because there was testimony by Mr. Sugiyama that, oh, actually the deal was it was $300,000 when he had purchased it for $400. We believe that that should be overturned. As to the cost of prevailing party, if it succeeds on any significant issue, should prevail. Here, both Hayashi and Luluaya prevailed on every single issue, both every issue, but weren't awarded costs. Comet prevailed on almost every issue, but for certainly the most significant issue, which was the quiet title, and therefore we believe that we should receive the costs. We believe that the $250,000 judgment should be reversed. Thank you, Your Honors.
Well, thank you to all three counsel. Surprisingly enough, you made this case very interesting. I hope that the students enjoyed hearing this case because it was interesting. You did a great job, all three of you. Congratulations. You are credit to your clients, all three of you. And this, the briefs were excellent, too.